It's Celtics coverage on CLNSRadio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Horford lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
All right. Chalk it up to me being on the post-game show tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in. My name is Matt Rury. You're listening to the CLNS Media Celtics post-game show. And the Celtics pick up their first win of the season, improving to 1-2 as they take down the Philadelphia 76ers 102-92. And this game tonight was solid at times, and at other times it was very, very sloppy. So we're going to get into that shortly here. The phone number is 347-215-7771. You can give us a call to talk about this game tonight. And joining me to discuss this sometimes exciting, sometimes sloppy game is the one and only Nick Sesento. Nick, they're pairing us up early in the season. I like it. What's going on, man?
It's the A-team, Matt. It's the A-team. I love it.
That's right. That's what they needed. They needed to pair us up on the broadcast, and that gets the Celtics a win. And we're going to go through it for the next hour with the people out there. So I don't know where you want to start here, but let's just mention to everyone that aside from Gordon Hayward obviously being out for this game, Marcus Morris has still not played a game for the Celtics, and Marcus Smart actually missed the game tonight as well because he has two sprained ankles. That's right. Both of his ankles are sprained. So he missed the game tonight, and who knows when he'll be back, hopefully soon, because they're starting to wear thin there. But that means, yet again, another starting lineup that was different. It's the first time in over 20 years where the Celtics have had a different starting lineup for the first three games of the season. And Aaron Baines steps in there tonight, Nick. And you know what? I want to give that guy a lot of credit because
yes,
you can say a lot about the refs tonight. You can say a lot about what is going on as far as the changing of the way that the game is played and all the traveling calls and the different fouls that were called. But I think the one consistent thing that you saw tonight was Aaron Baines using his strength and his size and really disrupting Joel Embiid. And Brad Stevens made sure that Baines was on the floor for just about every second that Joel Embiid was on the floor tonight. And
yes,
he really made an impact.
Definitely agree. Joel Embiid shooting 25% on the night, and I think some of those baskets came late in the game when the Celtics were up by double digits or close to it, and it was basically just, you know, essentially garbage time in the last couple of minutes of the game. But only 4 for 16 for 11 points from Joel Embiid. Ben Simmons, 11 points, 4 for 11, both of them having terrible nights. And I think that's because for the first time this season, and you heard Mike and Tommy talk about it, that Aaron Baines and Al Horford need to develop some chemistry together. So when they play against teams like the Philadelphia 76ers that have an excess, an abundance of big men and can play that big man game, especially with the versatile big man like Ben Simmons that is similar in many ways to Al Horford, minus the shooting, because he can dribble, he can pass, he can do all those things. And Aaron Baines and Al Horford played a fantastic game against those two much lauded, you know, superstar draft picks, so to speak, much anticipated draft picks in Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, effectually neutralizing them for the game. And their other significant big man, Dario Saric, only 9 points, 6 turnovers, 4 for 10 shooting. So all three of their significant big men were held to underwhelming production, we should say.
Boy, did Saric look bad tonight. His shot, everything. Oh, yeah. He just looked totally off. And you know what? I mean, I said that Baines was out there for just about every second that Embiid was out there. That's not totally true. It's true for the first half, almost the first three quarters, I guess. But once he got that fifth foul, it was tough to keep him out there for any extended period of time. So the minutes don't match up, if that's what you're looking at out there when I say that. But he did make an impact, and he disrupted Joel Embiid throughout the first half. Embiid didn't get his first field goal until the third quarter. And I think that's a big part of the reason the Celtics were able to come away with a win, even though the Celtics weren't always winning this game, because in that third quarter, they were extremely sloppy. And it just, I don't know what happened there, Nick, but they didn't seem focused for whatever reason. And maybe it's because they still haven't figured out the rotations. They haven't really had much time to practice so far early in the season, and things are thrown out of whack still because of the couple of injuries that we've mentioned off the top. But boy, at one point I thought I was watching a poor high school game, because both teams were just extremely sloppy with the basketball.
I couldn't agree more. Again, you know, that's one of the criticisms that I've had of Kyrie Irving, or that I've seen of Kyrie Irving, is that outside of that first game where he had those 10 assists, he hasn't really, from what I've seen, and maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, for all the great things that Kyrie Irving does, he's probably the best ball handler in the league. He has the best crossover, the best, you know, blow-by moves, the best hesitations. He finishes fantastic at the basket, despite not being, you know, an incredibly athletic player. But the one thing that I think this team needs, especially now more than ever with Gordon Hayward, who is also a fantastic ball distributor from the wing position, is Kyrie Irving to, you know, look more to set up his teammates. I think he did a fantastic job, because there were, what, six players in double figures tonight? Fantastic game from Tatum. Excellent, typical production from Horford. Good bench production from Rozier, and a surprise 10 points from Shane Larkin. But I think you need more of the assists, more of the distribution to come from Kyrie Irving. And the team altogether only had 16 assists. When the Philadelphia 76ers, who don't really have a real point guard, so to speak, who are assuming that Ben Simmons is going to handle the ball until Markel Fultz gets a little bit, you know, more seasoned, a little bit better at the NBA game. Gets, you know, it takes a while to learn how to run an NBA offense. It's not all that reassuring to see the 76ers with no point guard getting more total assists at 20 than the Boston Celtics at 16 assists, with Kyrie Irving, one of the top point guards in the game, not really, you know, setting up his teammates as much as maybe you would expect given the circumstances and the abrupt change to the lineup that we've experienced, or the Boston Celtics have experienced in the first week of the season.
Yeah, I don't know if Kyrie is really totally comfortable just yet. He looks like he still has some tendencies that he was that he picked up when he was playing in Cleveland with LeBron. He doesn't look like he is the guy that is trying to take over at all times like he probably should be, especially without Hayward on this team right now. He looks like he's deferring a lot, which is good, but I want him to be the Isaiah Thomas, the better scorer than Isaiah Thomas. People are going to compare him to Isaiah all season, and I want him to be what I think he is in that better player than Isaiah Thomas, and a better fourth quarter scorer. And he picked it up in the fourth quarter after Stevens left him on the bench for a significant period of time there to start the quarter. But for the most part, Nick, he was kind of non-existent in this game. And you mentioned his handles, and you mentioned his great dribbling skills. I don't know if his focus was there for whatever reason tonight. At times, he seemed like he was off in space, and at other times he seemed very engaged, and he seemed that he was playing well on defense, and he was tipping in rebounds and making the right pass. But I mean, he lost the ball off his own foot or something in the corner there at one point, and that's not something you see from him every day. So I think he still needs to feel mentally comfortable on the floor with his new teammates, and once that happens, the sky's the limit for this kid, because he is one of the best talents in the entire league.
You can't disagree with that. He's definitely, I mean, this is a point guard's league right now. This is the renaissance of the point guard position. Kyrie Irving is a top five, if not three, if not, you know, whatever, wherever you want to put him, he has to be in the discussion of top point guards in the league, especially currently with Isaiah Thomas out with the hip injury. Kyrie Irving is definitely up there. I just don't know if you can expect the same thing from Kyrie Irving that we got from, or that the Boston Celtics got from Isaiah Thomas last season. I don't think the offense was set up that way. I don't think Brad Stevens is looking for Kyrie Irving to do the same thing, to be that, you know, fourth quarter burst. I think going into the season, obviously there was the idea that there was going to be scoring from, you know, all corners of the court, because you have Kyrie Irving, who's a superstar, who sets things off from the point. You have real talent at Gordon Hayward in the wing, and then you have a guy like Al Horford, who's a Swiss Army knife in the paint from the pivot. And that just kind of got blown up, and a lot of the things, the intangible things that the Boston Celtics fans expected from a guy like Gordon Hayward, the ability to move the ball, to get out on the break. Gordon Hayward isn't an ISO player like Kyrie Irving. He's a guy that moves and flows without the ball, moves, you know, with the offense, and facilitates when he doesn't have a shot of his own. And the Boston Celtics don't have that now, and I think what's happening is the team is still developing chemistry. They would have had to – and the only positive you could take away from this is that they would have had to develop this chemistry anyway if Gordon Hayward were still playing. But the fact that Gordon Hayward went out, you know, and as terrible as it is, the fact that he went out with only the first 6 minutes of the season kind of gives you at least a little bit of, you know, hope or some kind of justification in the back of your mind that they weren't completely comfortable yet, even with Gordon Hayward. So now this team is going to develop without him, and some of those other players like Jaylen Brown are going to get opportunities. Jason Tatum tonight stepped up, you know, had a very nice game. And I think, as you already said, they're still trying to develop that chemistry. They would have been anyway, even if Gordon Hayward was still playing, but the benefit is now they're, you know, mm-hmm. in the process of developing, and they're not having to worry about that. They're not having to change their entire game plan in the middle of the season as they would have if this injury had happened later.
All right, well, two things before I go to the first caller of the night. 347-215-7771 is the number. The first thing is, you mentioned Jason Tatum, and I want to say that I'm encouraged by what I saw from him tonight, because there was a stretch in the third quarter, probably like a good minute and a half or maybe a 2 minute stretch. It was a good three or four possessions in a row where he just looked lost, and he was making turnovers. He was getting called for fouls over and over again. He did something to disrupt the Celtics, and Stevens took him out, and he came back in the game after that and was still the aggressive player that we've seen over the first three games of the season. So the point I'm making here is I love the kid's confidence. I love that he didn't get down on himself and get lost in that stretch of plays where he was making mistakes, because that's how you grow and that's how you learn in this league. You make the mistakes and then you fix it, hopefully within the same game, if not the next one. So I like the head that he has on his shoulders and the way that he goes about coming back into a game after he screwed up multiple times earlier. That's the first thing. And second of all, you mentioned that the Celtics were out-assisted by Philadelphia tonight. But on the flip side, this was a really ugly game. I don't think there were a lot of assists to go around. Low field goal percentages. So the thing that stands out to me is the fact that the Celtics out-rebounded Philadelphia.
Yes.
And they had four guys with eight rebounds or more, including Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, not just the big guys. Guess what? Terry Rozier had seven rebounds of his own. And when you're a bunch of guards and wing players out-rebounding guys like Joel Embiid and Amir Johnson and Dario Saric, even though Johnson's kind of old and Saric is kind of soft, that's still impressive to me. Philadelphia is supposed to be a good rebounding team with those players they have out there. And Ben Simmons being a tall guard-ish type of player, you would think he'd be a better rebounder than he is, apparently, because, man, he got out-rebounded by the little guys on this team three or four times tonight, Rozier and Irving in particular. So, listen, if they're going to be crashing the boards like this, I think that you don't have to worry so much about the assist number, because they're going to get easy putbacks if they're out-rebounding people.
Exactly, especially with the team. I mean, what's the point if you're the Philadelphia 76ers or any team? What's the point of having five big men in the rotation or four big men in the rotation? Quality guys like Embiid, like Simmons, and I don't know if Simmons is a big man or what he is. I think even he needs to kind of figure that out, because he has the body of a big man, but he plays, you know, soft like a guard or a wing player, like a point guard. He's not really getting in there and into the scrum and battling with guys like Terry Rozier. If you get out-rebounded, and Terry Rozier is a fantastic rebounder, so that's not really an insult, but if you're Ben Simmons, you shouldn't be getting out-rebounded by Terry Rozier. So I don't understand the point of having of stockpiling all these big men if they're not even going to rebound for you. But if the Boston Celtics are crashing the boards, then I don't think they have any choice, especially if they want to win games and if the ball movement isn't quite there yet, they're going to have to get those rebounds. And since you brought up Terry Rozier before we get to the first caller, I think Terry Rozier and his ability to rebound the basketball, he is going to and he looks poised to take a jump this season. He looks more confident with the ball. He's hitting big shots like he hit big shots last season in the playoffs. I think Terry Rozier is poised to pick up a lot of the slack that was left behind, both offensively and, surprisingly, even defensively, the departure of Avery Bradley left behind, and with the loss of Gordon Hayward and, of course, the trade of Jay Crowder. I think that Jaylen Brown looks also poised to take that next jump and fill in the role of, if not Gordon Hayward, of course, because he's an all-star, but possibly a Jay Crowder, a more athletic Jay Crowder. So for all those analysts that say the Boston Celtics lost so much, and now with Gordon Hayward out, they lost all that, you know, they lost even more. I think you have a couple of young guys that are just itching and have proven through preseason and then last year in the Eastern Conference Finals and the playoff run to be ready to take that next step in both Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, and if Smart's going to be out any length of time, Rozier is going to be the one to get those minutes. You're not going to be relying on Abdel Nader and Yabusele and Shane Larkin so much, even though Larkin had a pretty big shot there toward the end of the game, big three-pointer to sort of put the nail in the coffin. That's kind of when you felt like the game was over with just a few minutes left to go in the fourth quarter there. So big shot by Larkin, but he's not going to see the minutes that Terry Rozier is going to see at the guard position. He needs to step up, and I think he's ready to do that. His confidence is there, and the Celtics showed by trading Avery Bradley and not including Rozier in any other type of package that they like him and they like Marcus Smart, and those guys are going to get time. So we can run down the rest of it a little bit later in the show. I'm a little surprised to see that Semi Ojeleye didn't get on the floor, but people were clamoring for him, and at one point in thinking that he was going to be a great player for the Celtics. But the point of all of this, Nick, none of these guys are great players that are coming in and playing 10, 15, 20 minutes in the absence of Hayward and Smart. These guys are okay role players that are going to need to overachieve, just like Brad Stevens has gotten his teams to overachieve since he has arrived here. And if they do overachieve, the Celtics will be fine. In the meantime, if these other players take their roles and don't overachieve and they just play up to their standard, then we might be in for some more ugly basketball until Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier really find themselves, because you're right. They are poised and ready to take that next step. But here we go. 347-215-7771 is the number. And we go up to Maine. It's Blair. What do you have for us tonight, Blair?
Yeah, the refs were horrible. That's one thing I got for you. I don't know about you guys, but the refs, I was even hearing from the stands, from the 76er fans, mm-hmm. saying stuff to the refs. I don't want to repeat some of it, but it just, the refs, it was the lady refs and the two guy refs. The lady ref was calling some not-so-good calls, and it doesn't matter what the refs are calling, but I have some other stuff I like to bring up. Kyrie Irving, 21 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. Jaylen Brown, 9 points, 8 rebounds. Al Horford, 17 points, 3 assists, 9 rebounds. What do you think about that?
Big games for all these guys, and I think that they are the ones that you need to look at to see if the Celtics are going to win. Then those three guys need to perform night in and night out, and the big question mark is going to be Jaylen Brown. So if he can contribute, he didn't have a great game offensively, but he did grab 8 rebounds, like you said, and he had a couple steals. He looked good on defense. If he can continue to do that and provide that type of an effort, then I think the Celtics are going to win just as many games, but close to as many games as they were going to win with their full roster. As far as the refs are concerned, to be honest with you, I don't want to be a ref defender. I think they were consistent, at least. I didn't agree with a lot of the calls, but there were a few that went against Philadelphia, or that went that's what I should say, that went against Philadelphia that I agreed with the fans, and there were some that went against Boston that I thought shouldn't have gone that way. But another thing is, Nick, you tell me what you feel about this one. I think for some reason there's new emphasis this year on some of these rules, and the refs probably are trying to figure out how often they need to call this stuff, one being the start to drive without dribbling right away that people have been getting away with for years and years, and now the referees are finally starting to call it. If you take that second step before the ball actually hits the floor, then it's a travel. And they're being very strict about it earlier in the season. I'm just curious. I'm wondering if it's going to continue on. The other one being something that they started last year and making sure that guys have enough space to land so you're not seeing all these turned ankles and stuff. You saw that called a lot tonight. So I think maybe the refs are still trying to figure out how to call this stuff and the players haven't adjusted to it. And that brings us to the frustration that you saw tonight.
Yeah, and you see every year they have, you know, different rules that they want to emphasize, and, you know, at some point you'd like there to be some consistency. But these rules are relatively, I think, until the referees, because referees, like any other, you know, profession, they have to get used to new rules, to new standards. They're, you know, they're human like anybody else and prone to error. But and there haven't been any significant changes like the illegal defense change that occurred, you know, that happened in the 90s, or the hand-checking fouls that were, you know, that were installed, I think, also in the 90s or early 2000s, you know, along with Allen Iverson. There haven't been any significant changes like that, but even these minor changes, how do you determine how close a player can get before it's a foul when it comes to a jump shooter landing and defending a jump shooter? Because if you're running out on the closeout, you know, you can't always, as a defender, you know, pull yourself up completely to not, avoid the jump shooting player from landing on your feet. I wouldn't be surprised if next season we start seeing rules to try to counteract some of the things that the injury that we saw to Gordon Hayward, the way that kind of, and I'm not going to be one of those people that puts out any aspersions on any players. With, you know, Jay Crowder and LeBron James being involved in that play. But if you watch that play, and I don't think there was any ill intention to hurt anybody, but if you look at that play, Jay Crowder, you know, kind of ducked under and kind of contributed to the fact that Gordon Hayward fell down. You might start seeing something like that being called in the future of what happens when, you know, a player is running while the player is in the air. These are all type of things. Anytime there's a gruesome injury or an injury to a major star like Kawhi Leonard that affects an entire playoff series and then, of course, affects ratings, then you're going to see the NBA change the rules. And I think the fact that happened to Gordon Hayward on the much-lauded, the much-anticipated opening night nationally broadcast, and they showed the picture
time of
him right there, it's just something that sticks in your mind in the NBA. That turned a lot of people off. I didn't finish watching the game because I was just so upset about it, not just physically by watching it happen, but also because of all the hope that just, you know, you felt flushed down the toilet. But I think when those things are such high profile, you get, you know, the NBA trying to focus on those things, and I think that's what you're getting this year. High profile injury with Kawhi, now you got this, you know, jump shooting thing and other rules that they're implementing, and as that smooths out, remember, this is only 3 games into the season for the Celtics, 2 games for other teams, it'll even out and the play will get a little bit more consistent, the calls will get a little bit more consistent, and I don't think it has anything to do with the gender of the referees.
Yeah, definitely doesn't have anything to do with the gender of the referees. As far as that's concerned, I would equate some of these referees to more of a college referee, man or woman, and it takes time to catch up to the speed of the NBA. So that's what the criticism of young referees is for me. And I guess I'm in a good mood tonight, Nick, because I'm defending the refs. So Blair, we appreciate the call. Before you go, why don't you tell us who you think is the most important Celtic that needs to sort of step up here?
One last thing I would like to ask you guys.
Go ahead.
Kyrie Irving is a way better player than he has been showing lately, and I saw it when he was with LeBron James. When is he going to show more than he's showing right now, because I really want to see what he can show like he was when he was with LeBron James, because I'm not seeing what he showed when he was with LeBron. It's not shown yet, and I know you
tonight. It's easy to say that you can that you're an excellent player when you're playing alongside of LeBron James, Blair, but you know what? I think that he's got to get comfortable with the teammates here. It's really only been a month that he's been playing with them and having time around the team. So I think that he needs to just be more comfortable, be himself, and just listen to the coaching staff. And eventually you'll figure it out. You'll see that they will be fine, and that Kyrie Irving will end up being one of the best players in the league. That's who he is. That's what he will be. It's not going anywhere. Once he's confident and everybody else around him is confident and they trust in each other, then they're going to be fine, and they're going to win a lot of games. And maybe they aren't an NBA Finals contender anymore, but they are going to be a decent playoff team. And I think they're still going to be a lot of fun to watch throughout the season because they're young and exciting and they have a lot going for them. So Kyrie will be back. Don't you worry about that, Blair. He will be himself.
We need to get that player healthy that's really injured right now, and he's at home healing up and from his surgery yesterday, last night.
Yep.
So hopefully the guy that we got from the Jazz.
Gordon Hayward, yes, sir.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward, yeah. If he's listening right now.
We all are wishing him the best.
Get well, Gordon Hayward. Get well, if you're listening, bud, right now. Get well, man. I wish you all the luck in your recovery. Get well.
All right, Blair, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next time. There he goes, Blair up in Maine, giving us a call here at 347-215-7771. Nick, I signed the Get Well poster that was hanging at the Garden the other night for Gordon Hayward, so my initials are on there. My little note to him is on there, so I feel like I'm a part of the Get Well theme that's going on. And that injury is going to be with us for the rest of the season. I don't know when I'm ever going to forget, if I'm ever going to forget about that thing. And I don't want to relive that moment again. And so I can't even imagine what he is going through, because he's the one that I've actually happened to. Anyway.
I wonder if Gordon Hayward has actually even watched that video. I would think he hasn't, just because of how terrible it is. I remember they asked Brad Stevens about it in the post game, and he said he has no intention of ever watching that video to see what happened in it with that. So, but Gordon Hayward, you know, the NBA has very good doctors, very good surgeons, and Gordon Hayward is a top flight, you know, elite level athlete. You can only expect that he's going to get better. I wish the prognosis were that he could return sometime this season, but it's better to be safe than sorry. And as I believe Brian Windhorst, the Cavs beat reporter or whatever that they have on ESPN, was talking that, you know, a year from now when the season starts and next season starts, we might be looking at this as a blessing in disguise, because is giving players like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that time to grow. This is not going to be the year that the Celtics go to the finals. I don't even think they're not going to be contending for the first seed either. But it's a growing season, and that's good, because when Gordon Hayward comes back and is integrated into what's already here, it's going to be pretty intense and pretty powerful.
Yeah, well, I've heard that argument. I've heard the argument that next year was supposed to be the big year anyway. So if Hayward can fit in next year, then things will still be on track, and this was still part of the bridge right now to the championship, if you will. All right, we now are going to move along in the show and let you know that this episode is sponsored by Greats. That's right, makers of the all-time Greats. Classic, stylish, and comfortable sneakers. They're sold at a great price. And I'm telling you right now that the reason that I'm doing this read before bringing on Nick Gelso is because I want him to hear me doing this, because it's beautiful, Sustento. And it's because Greats is Brooklyn's first sneaker company. The slip-ons. Well, I'll get to the slip-ons, baby. You know all about the slip-ons. Not my style, but you know all about them. Because you know what? They have a wide selection of men and women's shoes. So whether you're a lady ref or a man ref, Blair up in Maine, you can go to greats.com and get some wonderful styles for your feet. They're suitable for any occasion. They have tons of different colors and materials to choose from, And their best sellers include the all-leather Royale lace-up. And here it is, Nick, the Wooster slip-on.
Yes,
sir. You got that right. The Wooster slip-on. That's your favorite. Check those out along with lots of other great styles at greats.com. And if you go there right now, we've got a special deal for you, our audience. Save 15% on your first order with this offer code. It's Celtics Round Table. Again, that's Celtics Round Table when you go to greats.com. That's greats.com. And enter that code Celtics Round Table to save 15% at checkout. Greats believes so much in their shoes. They offer a no-risk return and exchange policy. So if you don't like the fit or the style, you can send it right back and get some better ones. Or just send them back. Greats.com. User code. Use our code. Boy. Celtics Roundtable for 15% off. Thank you to Greats for sponsoring this podcast. And thank you to Nick Gelso for entrusting me with this podcast. The founder of CLNS Media, ladies and gentlemen. He's been scouring press conferences for the last half an hour. Nick, welcome to the show.
Funny, I only saw Brad, but
okay.
Yeah. it was good to see him laughing. You know, he was kind of lighthearted. He said it was a really big win, and
oh, he's in a good mood.
Yeah,
okay, good. So
yeah,
they
well,
stopped the process tonight. That's a good thing.
Yeah, and I think that the sign that they won kind of lets them break through this whole Hayward situation, having you know kind of the shock of that. I think it's part of the healing process. And you could see it with Brad Stevens tonight with the press conference. He was more lighthearted than he's been. He's been really, really down. So it's good to see. And I agree with everything you guys. I know it's really boring, but everything the both of you are saying I think is totally true. And I agree with Windhorst too because, I mean, think about this experience. I mean, you got – when would Jaylen Brown last year ever play 37 minutes tonight and – Tatum, the rookie, has 33. I mean, think about that. And then a guy like Rozier has 30. I mean, that's just experience that next year is going to be really invaluable, and it really looks like the Lakers are going to blow, which, I mean, come on. It doesn't get any better than that,
oh,
especially
so
since
good.
We have their pick. So, you know, I mean, that dumpster fire out there. That poor kid, Lonzo Ball, I won't get off topic here, but, yeah, I mean, as bad as I feel about, and I mean, I was there, that was not pretty, you know, it was awful to watch, it was gory. I feel for Hayward. I think, you know, let this team build in as long as, and I was really happy to see Kyrie have a like kind of like a decent night, especially in the second half, in the fourth quarter, because the worst thing would be, and you could hear it starting on Twitter. I don't know about Facebook, Nick, but you could hear it starting about Kyrie, Isaiah, right,
yep.
And the fan base. And I'm going to tell you, Kyrie, if pressed on that, would snap. And that's not good.
Kyrie, Isaiah, and the fan base. Well, hold on, time out. Let's not gloss over your co-host on Beats and Eats. He's been getting on my nerves with this Kyrie Irving, Isaiah Thomas thing. We should get Ty Ray on the air one of these
why,
days.
What's
so
going
we can
on with him? I haven't seen
because
anything.
He's just,
I've not,
I'm at my wit's end with him
talking?
Right now.
Oh, he knows how to push buttons, but where is he doing this, on Twitter or Facebook?
He's been doing it on Twitter. He and I went back and forth the other night on Twitter, and I got all out of sorts.
Well,
I was saying wrong facts and things. It's I don't know. I'm tired of him dropping the little tweets that are suggesting
so
that Isaiah Thomas would have been the savior still. And it's like, God, Isaiah,
no.
I miss you.
No.
I miss you, IT. And it's like, we understand you guys are from the same area in Tacoma, et cetera. We get it, Ty, if you're listening. I love you. You're great for the network. And everything. You've
got
to all of us.
Right
but
now.
Can you save it with the Isaiah Thomas stuff?
I'm surprised Tyree's not more heartbroken about Avery Bradley. I mean, he's been with the team for twice as long as Isaiah Thomas, if not longer.
No, yeah,
also from
Ty
Tacoma.
Always, like,
heartbreaking,
Ty
you know.
Always. Ty always likes the underdog, and Isaiah is the ultimate underdog with a chip on his shoulder. I gotta say, you know, and far be it for me to disagree with Ty, but the Celtics would be a train wreck if they had not made this trade with Kyrie. I mean, think about that.
You know,
Isaiah would not be coming back till, they're saying January. It's probably okay. Even if he comes back in January, he's not Isaiah until next opening night.
Right. Right. And God forbid you disagree and say that Kyrie Irving is a better player, then you're disparaging Isaiah Thomas, right? No. No, certainly not. I don't want to make this sound like I'm trying to dig Isaiah Thomas or like bash him at all. He was awesome and amazing and deserves a ton of praise. But guess what? There are better players out there, and now the Celtics have one.
It's funny that you're saying that, because I had no idea. I had no idea at all that you guys were going back and forth. And in my head, I was actually not thinking about Ty at all, but thinking that, you know, being around this, like, I'm going to say he'll snap out if the fan, like, he could be pretty aggressive too. You know, I just don't want the fan base to turn on him after three games. Come on. I mean, the dude is trying to find an entirely new system that really is built for him. I mean, it's perfect. So it's only a matter of time. And tonight was the beginning of it. It was starting to break through the wall.
So, Senso, there's no reason for people to freak out, but, I mean, you know that they are. What's going on as far as you've heard from fans?
Let me just put something out there that's even more ridiculous than that, because I have similar sympathies to Ty Ray, because I liked Isaiah Thomas. I thought if Isaiah Thomas were healthy, that one for one may have been a good deal. But the fact that the Celtics gave up that Nets pick, they gave up Jay Crowder, who was basically the grit and, you know, part of the heart of this team. I thought it
was
a little bit lopsided of a trade. But like Jessa already mentioned, Isaiah Thomas isn't even playing this year. So if the Celtics didn't have Isaiah Thomas and they had, you know, still had Jay Crowder and still had some of these other players, and those transactions didn't occur, it would be a dumpster fire.
Here's the thing. Jay Crowder did not want to be here anymore. That was
He had to go. That was clear. He was going regardless of Avery Bradley. He was going regardless of Isaiah Thomas.
And
he was going.
And Matt, Danny Ainge would not trade that contract unless he absolutely had to. And Jay Crowder was disgruntled. I'm telling you, he didn't even bitch really. I mean, the timing of the trade sucked for him. But he really has been, for a guy who's extremely vocal, like overly vocal, like it's like shut up, he has not even really bitched about the trade very much or talked all that much.
No, he's happy about it. He wanted out. Now he's on a championship contender for real. He's good to go, man. Don't worry about Jay Crowder. And you know what? I just hope that he doesn't take the approach that Isaiah is taking right now with Danny Ainge and be ungrateful to Danny Ainge, because hope that Isaiah comes around on this one too, because those guys,
I think he
gave both of them a chance and they deserved it.
They
proved him right. And then he decided that it was time to move on. And if they are going to hold a grudge against him for that, then I don't agree with that philosophy.
Yeah, Murray. I mean, if you think about it, he couldn't even crack the starting lineup before the Celtics. Isaiah,
not even close. I was saying that he was a nobody in the Rondo trade, that nothing was going to happen because he was a nobody in Dallas. He wasn't playing.
No,
they didn't like
here's
him.
What everybody was saying. He'll give you like a Nate Robinson type contribution. He'll come off and be spark. He'll be a spark off the bench every once in a while, like Vinny Johnson, right? So no, and the Celtics, Isaiah used to rant and rave about starting, if you remember, and the Celtics had faith in him. And believe me, everybody here, I think you too, Rory, we all love Isaiah. Isaiah was amazing, but the Celtics were amazing to him too. And then they traded him to the best team in the Eastern Conference and arguably the only team that can defeat the Warriors.
Listen, Sesento said it best. Avery Bradley is the one that was wronged here, okay? If you're going to feel bad for somebody and you're going to pine over somebody not being here, it's going to be Avery Bradley. I wish Ty Ray was on right now. I feel like I'm talking to space, and
I'm sure he'll listen at some point. He listens a lot.
But no, Sesento, you nailed it, man. Bradley's the one that got traded to the black hole of the NBA, The team that everybody tries to avoid watching because they're so boring, the Detroit Pistons. And guess what? Their own fans won't even show up to their stadium on opening night.
Yeah.
Philadelphia
packed that
place tonight. I was impressed by that.
Philadelphia.
Detroit was
there always
the other night. It's so sad. I feel horrible for Avery Bradley.
The Pistons are playing 2005 basketball. It's not even modern basketball with the Pistons.
No,
they're still playing that big man that can only play in the middle. And, you know, and surrounding players around, it's just not even modern basketball at this
point. It's like pre-Doc Rivers basketball. That's that.
They might even win some games, but nobody's going to watch it.
No.
No, but the Sixers, I'm going to tell you, they always have great fans. Even if there's only 10,000 of them in the arena, they're always crazy. They're always – I know. I mean, I live there.
Bringing
so,
back the
a-hole
chant tonight. Didn't like the refs. A-hole, a-hole.
Yeah, what else were they chanting? Boston sucks?
No,
or
ref,
Kyrie
you suck.
Sucks?
Ref, you suck.
Oh, ref, you suck. The refs did suck. I don't want to talk about it. But I do want to hear what they're saying on Facebook. I interrupted Nick. Go ahead.
Oh, the thing that's even more – absurd than the kind of bitterness or the second guessing of the Isaiah Thomas trade is the, and this is a very small minority now, in the Boston Celtics Bleed Green Facebook group, the group that I started now is approaching 40,000 members, and I try
That's
to be as libertarian as possible in running it. I don't try to guide anybody's opinion. I don't try to force my opinion on anybody else. I try to just the full spectrum of Celtics fans be represented, and there is a very small minority, and this is even that are even more ignorant than those that questioned the Isaiah trade, and that's those that after two bad games were starting to call for Brad Stevens' head. Now, there is nothing more ridiculous in the NBA than calling for Brad Stevens, one of the best coaches in the league, the best young coaches in the league, calling for him, and maybe he's not the right coach for this team after a rocky start that featured one of the worst injuries in modern NBA history. Because if you think back to Paul George, that happened in the Olympics, not in an actual NBA game. Ridiculous. I don't know if they're just trolling, if they're thinking they're funny, if they're just trying to add to the pessimism. But people that are questioning the Isaiah Thomas trade is just. Don't. It's not worth it. He's not even playing. Jake, like you said, Jay Crowder didn't want to be here. And anybody that even thinks, even crosses their mind that this is anything having to do with Brad Stevens is absolutely absurd.
Oh,
and of course, there are people that want to get rid of Danny Ainge, but they will always exist because Danny Ainge is heartless.
Yeah.
He's all business. But that's just a philosophy thing, not really a performance thing, because Danny Ainge did a good job of giving the fireworks that everybody wanted this season.
You know, had Hayward not gotten injured, and I think it's really I guess it disqualifies him because you don't know what they would have been. But I guess it's totally dependent upon their record this year. But he really should be exec of the year for what he pulled off in this last 3 years, from the Brooklyn swindle right up to L.A. with how L.A. is going to, and they really look deplorable. I mean, I'm watching them as closely as the Celtics because I want that pick.
Nick Gelso, did you? And since you brought up, I don't want to spend any time more than just a couple of seconds talking about Lonzo Ball. But I think it's fair to say that the circus from his father really hasn't helped him. It helped put a target on his back. I was watching the
really
Lakers opening game the other night, and you could hear one of the fans as Lonzo Ball started shooting a three. You could hear one of the fans through the broadcast, you know, mics through the broadcast through the camera. Oh hell no! As Lonzo Ball shot one of his shots, even the fans are turning against him, because when you come in with that type of hype, people are just going to want to knock you down. They're going to hate. They're going to want to knock you down. And Lonzo Ball seems like a really good kid. It's his father that people have a reaction
to. Listen, Magic is trying. And listen, I'm not gonna put the blame on Magic, but and I agree. I think his father is just. I mean, we had him on the network.
What do you mean, put the blame on Magic? Nick, you've got to put some blame on Magic. He's
but
the one that hyped him up and said that he was going to be the next Magic.
But let me finish. The Magic
Go ahead, finish.
Yeah, I mean, I do have to put some blame on Magic, because the marketing on all of this, which you know is Magic is behind every bit of it. It's got his name all over it, created so much hype. And like, here, I'm going to rant on for 1 minute, like Munger, but here's the thing. If you look back at Danny Ainge on the beginning of training camp, they asked him what he felt about, I'll start with Danny. They asked him what he felt of and what his expectations of Tatum were. And he said to learn every game and to get better every game. And then they clipped over to Lakers training camp, where they asked Magic what his expectations are for Lonzo Ball. And it was like, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was basically putting so much pressure on him to be, you know, Magic. And the fact of the matter is, Magic, no one could be Magic. Magic had like an uber ultra charisma about him. Lonzo Ball has zero charisma about him.
Mm-hmm.
Zero.
That's right.
Not
that's because his father overshadows all of it.
His father,
because he's never been allowed to just sort of be himself, right?
His father sucks the air out of the room. So that's a train wreck waiting to happen. I hope it doesn't end up like Derrick Rose, where he goes off into cuckoo land. But, you know, that kid has so much pressure on him. The Lakers are going to suck. Let them figure it out.
They're
going to
be horrible.
Let them sort through it all.
Bottom five.
Sort through it all. And yeah, I agree. Let them sort through it all next year after the pick is ours.
Well, you know what? People have been talking about how Jason Tatum had a rough start to the league. He was introduced to LeBron James in game one and Giannis Antetokounmpo in game two. But Lonzo Ball, wow. He got Pat Beverly in his first game, who is basically a rabid dog out there, and he went after Lonzo Ball. He was out to get him, and it was awesome to watch.
Tonight they're going against Phoenix, so that's not so bad.
But he should thank his lucky stars that Rondo was hurt, because otherwise he would be in for a tough stretch here, because after tonight they play New Orleans, then he's got to see John Wall, then he's going to run into Kyle Lowry, then he sees Ricky Rubio, and after that, guess who is playing defense against him? It's, oh wait, Avery Bradley. The following game, Damian Lillard, and then after that, it's D'Angelo Russell, who was just traded from the Lakers, so he's going to be up for it, and then he goes up against Mike Conley, and then he sees the Celtics, it's Kyrie Irving. John Wall again. Guys, I could go on all night. Every night is going to be a matchup for Lonzo Ball, and he's going to have to show up, and pretty much every night, he's going to be outmanned, and he's not going to look good throughout the course of the season. But
no,
the other night on Carolina Whispers, I picked him to be the rookie of the year because I think he's going to have the biggest opportunity and that people are going to vote for him. So call that a flip-flop if you will, but he's going to have a tough time night in, night out.
No, I don't see him adjusting. It's going to take him a long period of adjustment because his body is so underdeveloped and I don't know. I mean, I think that has a lot to do with it. And the pressure – and the fact that he's a great – I mean, I only saw him in summer league, and his court vision is pretty incredible. But he has nobody to pass the ball to. Like Kyle Kuzma or whatever his name is, he's good.
Yeah,
but
bumps.
Like, that's his number one option? I mean, come on. Yikes.
Hasn't Danny Ainge been vindicated in his draft day trade that Markelle Fultz is a bench player that has a horrible jump shot? They tried to change his jump shot.
God.
It's broken. He hasn't broken the starting lineup. And then Jason Tatum, by the sheer consequences of everything that's happened this season and postseason and off season, is actually getting starters, not just starting, but actually getting starter minutes. So Danny Ainge, I think, is playing really well and has an NBA ready body. And on top of that, it's still growing.
In hindsight. This is going to go down as Danny Ainge. This is going to be legendary. It's going to be one of the things that he stole one. He swiped one. The myth is maybe not so much a myth, but the legend is going to be written. And they're just going to say, listen, Danny Ainge set this up. Fultz. Raid, and I'll take this guy. Thank you.
Yep.
Bye.
And let me tell you something. Tatum is playing like a number one pick because really that's what he is.
Yep.
If you think about it, you know, in theory, in literal sense, that's what he is. Because Danny Ainge said, look, if you guys take Fulton Ball, I think I'm going to go with this guy, Jason Tatum.
Yep.
Well, Danny Ainge said after the trade, he said he would pick the same player even if it was, the first pick. He would have picked Jason Tatum with the first pick. So he is basically a number one pick.
That's why he did it. He baited them. He is the number one pick. But I was with Jeremy tonight. Now think about this one. Who are the two picks ahead of Jaylen Brown in that draft class?
I would have to Google it, to be honest with you. It was just a couple of years ago, but I can't.
Wasn't Ben Simmons one of them?
It was 2 years ago. Ben Simmons, and it was,
Simmons.
I think, Brandon Ingram.
Ben Simmons and Brandon Ingram.
All right. So now think about this.
So Simmons is just now playing a couple of games here. I think that he looks like a better player than Jaylen Brown in the long run, but Brown is definitely more polished right now.
Wait, now, Matt, you said the same thing about Jason Tatum, but I think Jaylen Brown may be proving a lot of people wrong, that he may have all the tools.
I agree. He's so smart. He's just got to get composure, slow down just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and stop turning the ball over in traffic. But, man, he is polished, and he's only got more to go. He reminds me of Kobe in a personality sense, but in the sense of like playing, he reminds me of like a hybrid of Worthy and Dominique Wilkins. Like,
or Scottie.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. the thing about it is,
you guys are being really strong for me right now. I need him to be more sound at the basket before I'm going to start saying stuff like that. And by that,
okay,
I mean,
think about it this way,
he finishes strong, but I feel like when he has to alter his shot, it's not as smooth as any of the guys you just mentioned.
True.
But
all those guys are Hall of Famers
among them.
Of course.
Here's my statement, though, but I think hone in on the real statement. It is our question. It is, who was drafted ahead of Jaylen Brown? We had to think about it, and then when you really look at it, I don't know that I would – I love Simmons, but I don't even know that I would trade Brown for Simmons because he's such a bad shooter.
Yeah.
And they didn't expect Jaylen Brown to have that type of shot when he came into the NBA. That was his weak point, was his jump shot.
Yep.
And then you look at Jaylen Brown now, and he's dropping some. He's hitting some really big three-point long-distance shots.
Yep. I mean, so
he's got a ways to go.
He only had 9 points tonight. But he was a +14, and I know we hate the plus-minus here, but that says a lot in that case. Because the previous two games, he led the team in scoring.
Yep.
And Tatum, how about the rebounding on Tatum? 10, 8, and 8?
Okay.
I mean,
Nick,
come on, guys.
You know what? If you're going to use the plus-minus, I'm going to throw Shane Larkin's +16 and Jabari Bird's +12 out there to show you that it's useless.
But I'll tell you what, Shane Larkin deserves that +16. He turned the whole game around in the second half.
He doesn't deserve a +16. He hit a big shot. That three was huge. He had a couple of nice passes.
I mean,
his energy was
minus,
good.
But don't concentrate.
I'm not going to go
Think
on
about
plus
the fact
plus.
That Tatum had 8 rebounds again tonight. How about his rebounding? The Celtics have out-rebounded their opponents, I think. I think they've out-rebounded their opponents in the first three games. I don't have the box score in front of me or the stat sheet. But I know they did tonight by a big margin. So that's an improvement, too. Once Kyrie gets it going – think about the system, the difference in the system that Brad Stevens is running versus Tyronn Lue. So basically LeBron James.
LeBron James.
I mean, he's got to learn a whole new system, but this system's made for him. I mean, I really think it is. And I was not a Brad Stevens lover by any means, but I'll tell you what, I was proven wrong in that case. If there's anybody in the league that could coach him, it's this guy.
Cleveland out-rebounded the Celtics by 4 boards, 50-46, so close even there.
Okay, that's not so bad. But what about the Bucks? I'm curious on that one.
I'm still trying to go back on the thing, but, you know, they're competitive,
I mean,
at least. We can say that definitively, is that they're competitive when it comes to
rebounding. I feel like the
rebounding.
Celtics got out-rebounded against the Bucks, but I'm not looking at it.
But if you look at the Cavs game, Tristan Thompson usually has more rebounds than the entire Celtics team. So, like, that's pretty good being within 4 rebounds. I don't know about the Bucks, but it just seems like they have a little bit more control over the boards. Maybe not over the boards.
45-43 Bucks, so the Bucks out-rebounded the Celtics by 2
but
boards.
No,
but
you're right, though, Nick. They're not getting blown out. They're actually crashing the boards.
No.
They're trying to get rebounds, and that's a big thing. That's a big part of it. Whereas in even going back to the Big Three era, championship contenders, those guys didn't care about rebounds. They just wanted to execute a play to get an open shot and knock it down.
It was brutal. I don't think that like they care so much about rebounds. I just think they have good, smart rebounders. I mean,
they want to rebound, though. That's what I'm saying.
The
players want to rebound, and the coaching staff encourages it at the very least, which we haven't seen in this franchise for the last 12 to 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's
That wasn't even part of Doc Rivers' game plan. Was getting offensive rebounds. It was just get back down the court, take your shot, and then run down the court, whether you make it or you miss.
He admitted it.
He admitted it. Yeah, he did. I mean, I don't know, and it might end up being that way this year. It was last year, but in the first three games, at least, it's nice. Tonight they destroyed the boards, but it's nice to see, you know, some competitive rebounding in the first two games.
Absolutely. Nick, I wanted to ask you a question real quick, not to get off the topic of rebounding, but have you, since you're the inside guy here, have you heard anything about the Celtics possibly using that $8 million injury exception to add an extra player? There are some significant players that could possibly help this team still floating around in free agency. Any ideas at all about who the Celtics may bring in, if anybody at all?
No, I haven't heard a thing about the exception. I think if they use it, it's basically saying Gordon Hayward is definitely not coming back.
Right?
So yes. I would say, and although I don't think he is coming back this season, who knows, if the Celtics were to make it to the finals, you just don't know. So why do it now? But
yeah,
it's not going to make any significant change to the season anyway. There's nobody out there that's going to change the trajectory of the Celtics for 2017-18.
Right. As far as the season, I mean, I would bring Gerald Green back. Why not?
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah.
He understands the system. He would be a good two. It would be good. I think the problem is having to start Marcus Smart in the first two games was really not working.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind even starting Gerald Green like they did in the playoffs and only play him the first 4 minutes and then bring in Smart.
I agree.
Well, I would say as far as that exception is concerned, even if they determine that he's not coming back and they say, you know what, we're just going to shut it down because by the time you're going to be ready to go, it's not going to be worth it. It's not like you're going to put us over the top to win a championship. You just get healthy and we'll do it again next year. I would still think that Ainge would wait until December 15th or whatever date that is, that when players can get traded, and then use the exception then to bring in a player that's worth $8 million, not just some guy he's going to go sign and give $8 million to.
I agree.
So,
no, I totally agree with that. I think I totally agree with that. I think it's silly to do it before then. And
I wanted to ask this. Nick mentioned the name of Marcus Smart, and both the Knicks, Nick S. and Nick Gelso have kind of been up and down on Marcus Smart. I know the last show that Rory and I did after a preseason game, we were very high on Marcus Smart. Still high on Marcus Smart after the first two games he played this season?
I am. I mean, I think that if you put the pressure, I mean, the top storyline going into opening night was them not making an offer and letting them go on the and you know they did the same thing with Rondo, if you guys remember correctly. They did, and Ainge does that because he wants to test the market on his value. I don't blame him; it's smart. So that was the big storyline going into opening night until the Gordon Hayward thing, and then there's that pressure. So I think, and then putting him into the starting lineup, I think it just set him up for difficulty. And now I don't know what happened tonight. He got injured?
No,
he
was out
before the game.
Yeah, he got hurt in the first quarter against Milwaukee with a sprained ankle, and then he stayed in the game and hurt his other ankle at the end of the game, towards the end of the game against Milwaukee. So he's out. He was out tonight. I would think that he'll be back against the Knicks, but it's possible he'll be out then as well.
Matt, so you're telling me that Marcus Smart sprained his ankle in the game after Gordon Hayward just blew his whole foot off, and they let him continue to play?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Why?
Because you know that if you injure one ankle, you're going to compensate with the other ankle.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess they thought it wasn't a bad sprain the first one anyway, and then the second one to me was the one where he looked like he was definitely – he came up lame and he was in more pain. But it was the other ankle. So he sprained both ankles in that game against Milwaukee. So we'll see what happens with him.
It's
being swept under the rug because I think that he thought that he would play tonight and he didn't, is what I heard. But I would imagine he's going to be back against the Knicks on Tuesday, guys. So, but we are – that's it for us here. It came quickly. The show is over. That's it. Gelso. You were just on with us for like half an hour, dude. That's crazy.
Oh, my God. That was just like
it's still recording for the podcast, though.
That's right. Yeah, it's still recording. So we're still here for a second or two. But, guys, thank you for joining me tonight. Celtics take this one. They get their first win of the season with their good luck charms. Nick Sesento and Matt Rury waiting in the wings. 102-92 down in Philadelphia. They spoil opening night for Philly just like Giannis did for us. And the Celtics move along, and they will be going up against the New York Knicks on Tuesday. Don't forget to check that one out. Who is on Tuesday? Updated schedule.
I don't know, but I'm not covering that game. My parents are in town for my birthday. So
happy birthday, Nick.
To the game. Well, thank you. I'm taking them to the game. They've never been to Boston, so I'm taking them to the Garden.
Oh,
I'm
you know what?
As a fan, and I can't wait.
It's Nick Sesento yet again. He's teaming up with Pat Gilroy.
There we go.
Two talkers right there. Wow.
Two talkers, but we'll see if they get a win against those Knicks. They better, man. They better find a way to beat the Knicks. That would be embarrassing if not. Anyway, gentlemen.
Come on.
Any final words, final thoughts, Nick, to end the show? Knicks, I should say.
I just wanted to say that I did cede some of my time to Nick Gelso today. So as much of a talker as I am, I did kind of level it off a little bit for the boss.
You really did, man, and I talked nonstop. But I my closing thoughts are: this is still a really good team, and it's only getting set up more so for next year. My only thing is, you know, I really want to see Kyrie get into a groove now, and I think that's really important, not just for himself, but it's for the team, for the city. Everybody's got to, you know, see that this guy is the new face of the franchise, because regardless, that was going to be the case. So, and next year is going to be awful pretty. So, and this year is going to be a whole hell of a lot of fun, you know, watching all this come together. And I hope that, and this will be my closing thought, really. I hope that Hayward doesn't spend his entire recovery in San Diego. I hope he gets rested, gets back here and trains in the city here, so he gets acclimated to the city for next year, because I think that that was a big period of adjustment for him that I don't even know that he was fully adjusted going into the season.
I don't think anybody really gets adjusted to the city. Are you adjusted to living up here, Nick?
I am, but I am because I spend so much time up here anyway. Yeah. You know, I spent a ton of, like, the last year, I spent the last month
you're right.
of the season.
You were here a lot.
The whole playoffs up here. You know,
but that's
so,
what I'm saying.
I mean,
like, you know that it takes some time, I guess, coming from out of town. Anyway,
in any scenario, it does. It takes time, and he seems to be not the most extroverted guy. You know, really nice guy, but he doesn't seem to be the most outgoing. So that's my closing thoughts. And
all
speedy
right.
recovery.
Speedy recovery is absolutely get well soon, Gordon Hayward. As
most,
the Celtics are saying, come back stronger and smart. Yeah, I think.
Yep.
I really, from what I've seen, he's going to be back shortly, hopefully on Tuesday night. And Sesento will be talking about that with Patrick Gilroy. So, gentlemen, thank you very much. This has been the Celtics Postgame Show on CLNS Media. I haven't gotten that wrong yet this year. We'll see if I let the old one slip. Enjoy your nights, everybody. Celtics win 102-92. Have a good one.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSradio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcast on the web.